Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want you to take your Bible tonight. Go to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24. And you can all stand when you get your place there, Luke 24. I'll say again, it's my honor to be with you. And Luke 24, we'll get reading somewhere a few verses in. And struggle what to preach tonight. You may not understand that, but I'd rather be somewhere else personally. My flesh would rather choose to preach something else, but this is what God laid on my heart, and that's what we'll try to do tonight. I want to try to just give you something. It's a simple thought, but I'll just try to give it to you and let you go home and except for those teachers for the kingdom kids. You got to go to the educational building. But everybody else can go home and just try to challenge us for a minute, encourage us, a little bit of both. But I want to begin reading in verse number 13. And pretty much everyone in here will probably know the context of Scripture. Jesus had just been crucified, and Jesus had just got up. He's alive when we're reading what we're reading. And in Luke chapter number 24, verse 13, you find two disciples, two of the followers of Jesus, on their way to a village called Emmaus. So let's pick up in verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. He showed up to them, but they didn't know it was him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Verse number 18 through 24, Cleophas begins to answer that question. In verse 25, Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That is an unbelievable verse. I'd have loved to have been there. I really don't think it's fair, and I'm going to ask the Lord about this when I get to heaven. Why only three people got to hear the greatest sermon ever preached? Because no uncertainty. That was the greatest message ever preached. Verse number 28 said, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. That's unbelievable, ain't it? They said one to another, this is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Thank you for standing. You can be seated tonight. So I'll read. There's a lot in this text. I mean, there is a lot to unpack, and there's no way if I took all night long to try to preach Luke chapter 24, there's no way I'd be able to preach at all. But one thing, you know, in our text we just read, there's two disciples of the Lord Jesus just 3 days after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and verse 18 tells us that one of them is Cleophas. And the other one's not named. Some people may think that it's Simon. Personally, I believe that it's Mary, but I don't know 100%. But I believe it's Mary. John 19:25 said that Mary, the wife of Cleophas, was at the foot of the cross. I just think it makes good sense that Cleophas was on that road to Emmaus with his wife, Mary. But, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us why they were on their way to Emmaus. You can study that out. You can read it. The Bible don't tell us why they went there. To begin with, but I believe if you read verse number 49 in chapter 24, I believe you can find out what the Lord had intended for them to do, because Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, I don't know why they went there or started journeying towards Emmaus. It wasn't even 8 miles. It was 6 or 7 miles to journey that city. Don't know why they went there, but I do know that Jesus, at the end of that text, had told them to stay in Jerusalem. But you find them leaving at the first part. Now, I think it's just makes good sense. You can take this as opinion or sense of knowledge if you want to, but here's the deal. When Jesus got to them and he showed up to them, where did they go? They went back to Jerusalem, back to where they were. And I believe with all of my heart that in this moment in Luke 24, that Cleophas and Mary had stepped out of the will of God to go to Emmaus. And you know what? They were journeyed away. They left where God had intended them to be. And you know what? As it was, so it is now. That man is never so foolish as when he journeys away from the cross. And I read this statement a little while ago that a tent at Calvary is better than a mansion in Emmaus. And you know what? I want to be slap dab in the middle of the will of God in my life, because this world can offer you all kinds of things, but they got nothing that can compare to the joy and the peace and the contentment of just being where God wants you to be. I want to stay near the cross. The old songwriter said it good when he said, "Jesus, keep me near the cross." So tonight, I want to preach on this thought, walking away from Calvary. Walking away from Calvary. In our text, we find the very first Easter Sunday. Do you know that first Easter Sunday, it was not celebrated the way we do today. It wasn't the same. There wasn't no bunny that day. That's the first thing. There wasn't no chocolate candies. There wasn't none of that. All right, it was totally different. Easter today is my favorite holiday. I don't really call it Easter. I call it Resurrection Sunday. That's what I like to call it. It is my favorite day of the year. It's my favorite day to go to church because it's a celebration that Jesus is alive. Y'all still believe Jesus is alive tonight, don't you? I love Resurrection Sunday. But did you know on that Resurrection Day, it was not a day of celebration. It was not a day of joy. It was not a day of happiness. Rather, it was a day of sorrow. It was a day of fear. It was a day of supreme mourning for most of the followers of Christ. Ain't it kind of strange how different it is today than it was then? Same celebration, same incident that we're celebrating, but it's totally different. I think they don't have the perspective we have. And there's a lot of things I could talk about why it wasn't, but I still ask the question, why was it not a day of celebration? Maybe because they weren't listening. But anyway, they might have not been happy or celebrating or, you know, with joy, because maybe they thought that the death that Jesus had just experienced was going to be what they were going to experience. Maybe they thought that they were going to kill him like they just killed Jesus. Maybe that's why Cleophas and Mary went to Emmaus. I don't know. That's just thought. I don't know, maybe it was because they never thought that Jesus was going to get up. Maybe that's why it wasn't a day of celebration. Personally, I believe that they wasn't a day of celebration because I think they were still in a state of shock because they thought he was never going to die. They thought, even though he told them that they had to be Baptist, it went in one ear and out the other. Even though he told them he was going to be crucified, he was going to be killed, and 3 days later get up, but when it happened, they were in a state of shock. And that's why there was no celebrating going on in that day. But you know what? On this day, they were filled with fear. And in verse number 17, Jesus asked them a question. He said in verse 17, he said, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" Number one, I want you to see tonight in verse 17 that there are some heartbroken saints in this story. Verse 14 of our text says that they talked together of all these things which had happened. You know, I was thinking the other day about sadness. That's not a good thing to be thinking about, by the way. You should think on happy things, okay? But I was studying this, and I was thinking about it. You know, there's different types of sadness. I've been sad before, and I've been down before, and nobody knew it. I'd go through a day and be sad, and I could talk to my family or talk to some people on the phone or see some people in town, they would have never known I was having a bad day. There's that type of sadness. But then there's that type of sadness, and that I have the countenance of sorrow. That when I see somebody, if they got, you know, they got their eyes open, they can tell something ain't right. You ever met anybody and you just said, man, they're low. That's the type of sadness I'm talking about. That's the type of sadness that Cleophas and what I believe Mary had that day. Because when Jesus walked up, sure, I know he was Jesus, but he walked up and asked him. He said, why are you so sad? He didn't say, are you sad? He said, why are you so sad? You know why they were, how he could tell? Because it was on their face they were so sad. You say, well, preacher, why were they so sad? Well, I'll get to the main part in a minute, but I'll tell you this much, why are they so sad? Because verse 14, they had talked together of all these things which had happened. Hey, honey, they had a lot to talk about. You think about what had just happened. I'm going somewhere. Please don't fall off the wagon, okay? That was just a commercial to let you know I am going somewhere. Listen here. They had talked about a lot of things. You say, preacher, what did they talk about? Well, they probably started talking about the treachery of Judas and his suicide. They probably started talking about the plots and the guilt of the Sanhedrin. They probably started talking about the weakness of Pilate and the weakness of Herod. They probably started talking about the terrible crime that was Calvary to crucify an innocent man. They probably talking about the rumors of what they had heard of that day, that the tomb was empty and Jesus wasn't there. Son, they had a lot to talk about. Maybe the reason they were so sad is because all this talking about, hey, let me give you a little advice. Maybe the reason you're so depressed all the time is what you've been talking about. Man, there's some people that I'm just going to be honest with you. But Robert, I don't even like to ask them how they're doing. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Because you ask them how they're doing, they going to tell you how they're doing. Son, I would love in our church, I'm joking right now, but it's okay. I'd love in our church to have three aisles like this. We have one aisle. Right down the center. Right there. That's all we got. One on the sides ain't big enough for two people, and some that ain't really big enough for one, if you know what I'm saying. Here's the deal. Right down the center aisle is all you got. And sometimes I'm walking in, y'all okay? Sometimes I'm walking down the back, from the back, walking down, and I've only got one way to get to that fourth row where I sit, and I know where's in my way. They're going to tell me when I get there. Lord help me. Some of the reason y'all so depressed all the time is because you need to learn how to talk about the good things in life. Hey, not everything is terrible. There's still some good things happen. Oh, but preacher, did you see that on the news? No, but I know what I read in my Bible, and I know that Jesus is still on the throne. The Holy Spirit's still in my soul. The Bible's still alive, and it's still real, and it's still on my side. Sure, everything might not be going hunky-dory all the time, but everything's all right, honey. So the reason they're so sad, probably it's because of what they're talking about. Verse number 18, Cleophas begins to explain to Jesus why they were so sad. He starts to tell him that the crucifixion had just happened. He couldn't believe that this stranger didn't know about the crucifixion. While I was reading Luke 24, not too long ago, this verse 21, it just jumped off the page. Verse 21, it said this. Cleophas said, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Now, you might read that and you just go right by it, not even pay attention. But I don't know why. You ever been reading your Bible, it just jumps off the page at you? Ain't that wonderful? You know why it does that? Because it's alive. It's quick. Now, here's the deal. I was reading it and it just jumped off. I was thinking, man, what words? I said, preacher, I don't understand. Let me read it to you how I heard it. But we had trusted. We trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. You hear Cleophas in that moment? Maybe it resonated with me because I have said words like that in hurt. It's almost as if I hear Cleophas saying, we put our faith in this man. We are trusted in this man to redeem Israel, set up the kingdom, and he's left us all alone. He's gone, and we trusted in him. We gave our life for him, and he's gone. That may not resonate with you, but I thought how hard it must have been for Jesus to stand there and hear those words coming from one of his followers. Hear such words of doubt coming from one of his followers' mouth. It's almost as if Cleophas is, I don't want to say blaming, but he's y'all may not understand this. He's throwing some shade on the Lord. Why is that funny? That ain't funny. That's truth. Did y'all understand that? Did you understand that? She said up there going, she looked at Robert and said, I didn't understand that. You understood it, didn't you? Throwing some shade. You said no? You're supposed to say yes. It's almost as if Cleophas is saying, he didn't do what he told us he was going to do. It's doubt's what it is. And you know what the most amazing thing about this part of the story is? Is that Jesus doesn't reply right away. Cleophas is saying, we trusted. We put our faith in this man. And you know as well as I do, if we would have been Jesus in that place, son, what you talking about, Willis? We'd have been right up in his face saying, you ain't going to talk to me about that. You ain't going to say something like that. Where's your faith at? What you talking about your doubt in that moment? But that's not what he did. You know why? Because Jesus, he's merciful. And he's long-suffering. And you may have never done anything like that like Cleophas did, but son, I have. You know what Cleophas is right here in this moment? He's heartbroken. You know what he is? He's hurt. You know what hurt people do? Hurt people say hurtful things. Cleophas is heartbroken. He's hurt. He's in sorrow. He's down. He's depressed. He's downtrodden. And you know what those people do? Without even thinking about it, they'll shoot a knife out of their mouth before they even know what they did. You know as well as I do, I've done that. You've done that. Ain't you glad that God, man, ain't you glad God's never answered every prayer you prayed? Because I'm telling you, there have been some times I was in a low place. I was in a heartbroken place. I was in a hurt place. And I said some things that I know now that I shouldn't have said. And I know now that I didn't really mean them then. But out of a hurt place, I said something. And God didn't do anything about it. He was long-suffering. He's merciful in that moment. Oh, thank the Lord he is. I'm sure glad that he ain't answered every prayer I've ever prayed. You know why most of the time, I'll say it like this, most of the time when somebody walks away or they get away from God or they get in a place they ain't supposed to be, you know why they do that most of the time? It's because something's happened. I'm very young. I know that. And I'm goofy because all y'all laughing at me. I know all that. But I've been a preacher's kid my whole life. It's all I've ever known is church. It's all I've ever known. You know what I've seen time and time again? People go through something and they get hurt and then they slowly drift. And they slowly get farther and farther away from where they're supposed to be. That has been accurate for every single one of our lives, I'd probably say. I've been through things and it hurt me so, Brother Matt, that I found myself here before I even knew it when I was supposed to be here. I found myself 7 miles away from Calvary just like that. Oh, man. You know, the root of their problem right here, it really wasn't what happened. It really wasn't sadness. It's not really what their problem was. The root of the sadness, the root problem of their sadness, it was a lack of faith. Just simply put, they didn't have the faith they should have had. Because when they went through that situation, now, and I know what the situation, it was Calvary, it was the crucifixion, Jesus had just died, I know that. But their faith wasn't strong enough to lead them through unscathed. And they found themselves in the wrong place because their faith wasn't right. Now I'm telling you right now, if you ain't careful, you'll go through hard situations. And you'll get hurt, because every single one of us get hurt. And if your faith ain't right, if your faith ain't strong, when you go through that tough situation, instead of staying on track, you'll find yourself here. Wise preacher once said this, and it wasn't me, by the way. Wise preacher once said this, chart your course. Just chart your course. I promise you this, if you'll just chart it, if you'll just set your course and believe God, when those hard winds come, you'll stay right on course. Oh, man, I'm telling you, it's the truth. Do you know the Bible still says that the just shall live by faith? The Bible still says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that is the reward of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We'll get there in a minute. 1 John 5:4 said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You say, well, preacher, is it wrong to be afraid? No. Is it wrong to be sad? No. Is it wrong to be hurt? No. It's not. Every single one of us is going to get hurt. Every single one of us is going to be sad. Every single one of us is going to go through something. I'm telling you this right now. Your faith should be to the place that it's stronger than those other things. See, what happened to Cleophas and Mary is they've let their weakness overtake and control them. And that's what happens to people. You'll find yourself, I've got to preach. I've got to move on. But I'm telling you, I'm just hunkered down right here. I can't move. You'll find yourself farther away from God than what you're supposed to be because you go through something and your faith ain't solid. You better check up on your faith. There's some heartbroken saints in that text. Then there's the hidden Savior. And I'm skipping over a bunch because I just can't preach everything Luke 24. I'll say amen right there. Luke 24, you also see a hidden Savior. Right here in our text, Jesus shows up and they don't know who He is. The Bible said in verse number 16 that their eyes were holding, that they should not know Him. You say, well, preacher, what? The hiddenness. I'm just going to be honest with you. I studied this out the other day and I said, why? Why would Jesus show up and conceal His identity? Well, the simple answer is because He wanted to teach them some things through the Scripture, but it's just a little bit deeper than that. You see, they were slow to believe. And in verse number 25, He offers them a mild rebuke when He says, oh, fools, slow of heart. I was reading that, and I'm telling you, it was almost like, whoa, He just called them fools. That's rough, man. Man, this is why y'all study your Bible. See, we all been raised, most of us, up in the hills like this right here, and there's some sayings that we have, you know, that ain't really accurate with the Bible. Y'all know that. Good night. We got some sayings, don't we? I ain't even going to start. One of them sayings is this. Well, you call somebody a fool, you're going to go to hell. Anybody ever heard that before? Man, I've heard that a lot. I know where they get it, but I don't know why they got it. I know that comes from Matthew 5:22, but they just need to study the Bible. But anyway, because when we just take stuff out of context. You know, there's a shirt I saw the other day. I can do all things with a verse taken out of context. That was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Here's the deal. Matthew 5:22. If you want one, I'll sell you one for $20. Here's the deal. Matthew 5:22. I don't know what was in my Burger King hamburger on the way over here, but I don't need to go back to Burger King. Matthew 5:22 is where they get that. Because the Bible says there, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. So when I heard Jesus say fools to them in Luke 24, well, my mind went immediately to Matthew 5:22. But you've got to study your Bible out. Because in Matthew 5:22, that word fool is the Greek word moros. And that word in Matthew 5:22, it's word moros. It's where we get our English word moron. I'm telling you. Y'all laughing because you called your husband that this evening getting ready for church. That's why you're laughing about it. Y'all know that word well. You know what that word moros means? It means somebody that's a morally worthless scoundrel. It's somebody that lacks character. That's Matthew 5:22. So when I heard Jesus say, oh, fools, I thought, good night. That's rough, man. I mean, I like good, rough preaching, but that's rough. It wasn't even 8 miles they had journeyed away. Why is He being so hard on them? That's why you got to study your Bible. Because in Luke 24, when He said, oh, fools, in verse 25, it ain't the Greek word moros, it's the Greek word aneotus. And it doesn't mean one that's a morally worthless scoundrel. It means somebody that's unwise or somebody that lacks understanding. So when He calls them, oh, fools, you know what He's really saying? You just don't understand, do you? Amen. You just don't understand. Oh, man, so you know what Jesus begins to do? He begins to give them understanding. How? Through the Word of God. But I still ain't answered the question, why did he conceal himself? Couldn't he have expounded the scriptures with his identity being out the open? Sure. Sure, he could have showed up as Jesus in the flesh. But had Christ revealed himself immediately on that road to Emmaus and showed himself to those disciples, well, immediately they would have turned around and went back toward Jerusalem, never asked a question. That's Jesus. He's alive. We got to go. That's what they would have done. They would have obeyed or ran back immediately. But you know what would have remained? Their intimate difficulties. Because Jesus here is coming to give them understanding. He's coming to teach them something. And you know what? If he had showed up that day, well, sure, it would have helped them in the moment. But a couple days down the road, they still would have had the question, why? Because they didn't understand. Oh, man. In their darkest hour, because I believe this might have been one of them in their lives, Jesus did not show up and employ the incarnate Word. John chapter 1, verse 1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word. Jesus could have showed up that day on the road to Emmaus in himself, the incarnate Word, to fix their problem and to get them back to Jerusalem. Had he revealed himself, his identity immediately, they would have rejoiced in his presence. They would have been so overfilled with joy and happiness, and they would have run back. But they would have continued asking that question, why? Do you know what Jesus was doing? Amen. Do you know what Jesus was doing that day on the road to Emmaus? He was letting us know, hey, I am the Son of God, and I could show up on that road to Emmaus in my flesh, the Word incarnate, to get them back to Jerusalem. But you know what I'm going to do for you 2,000 years later on top of the hill in Logab? I'm going to let you know that you got in your hand tonight the very thing to defeat the flesh, the very thing to defeat the devil and the world. You've got the very weapon in your arsenal to carry you through that hurt and that heartbrokenness and that trouble and that storm. You are, preacher, if you just knew what was going on in my life, preacher, You just don't understand, preacher. If Jesus incarnate would just show up in my life, he would fix everything. Yeah, you're right. He would fix everything. But we ain't got him in the flesh. We ain't got him in the flesh. I ain't ever seen him. You ain't ever seen him either. You think you did one night, you ate too much pizza before you went to bed. You ain't ever seen him either. I ain't never seen him in the flesh. So on that day, he didn't employ the incarnate Word. He employed the inspired Word. Amen. He would just show up in my life. He's there. He's right there. Oh, preacher, I'm just telling you, I've heard it all my life. But if he'd just show up, he can fix everything. He done gave you what you need to fix everything. And it's the Word of God. I hold in my hand tonight, not just a book, son. I'm not just holding a book. Amen. I'm not just holding something that my daddy gave me or my grandpa gave me. I'm not just holding something that I bought at a store. No, I'm holding the very Word of God. Man, in my darkest night, amen. Man, there have been some days in my life that I thought those words. Man, I wish Jesus could just show up and fix everything. But he ain't ever done it for me. But in those dark times in my life, you know what helped me get through? It's what I got in my hand. Hallelujah. It's the same thing that got Cleophas and Mary through. It's the same thing that got me through. It's the same thing that'll get you through. And when all hell's come against you, don't be looking for him to show up in the flesh. Just go grab your Bible and it'll take you another mile. Oh, yes, it will. That's what you need. That's what you need. Oh, my. You don't need anything else. Well, preacher, no, you don't need anything else. You got everything you need right there. What Jesus was doing right here is he wasn't going to fix their temporary problem, but he knew down the road they was going to have another problem. Hey, He wasn't just wanting to help them on that day. He was wanting to give them something that would help them the next day and the next day. Because guess what? I've had more than one trial. I've had more than one storm. But through many dangers, toils, and snares, the Word of God's always come through. Hallelujah. He's come through, friend. You know what you need to do? You need to engulf yourself with that Word right there and never put it down. Because when everything comes against you, that's what's going to carry you through. Ain't going to be mom and dad, son. Ain't going to be the preacher. Honey, it ain't going to be mom and dad. It's going to be your Bible. Y'all older folk in here, can y'all say amen to that? You know what you young people need to do? Starting school these last couple weeks, don't find your new... It's all right to have friends, but your main priority in your life is not to find the newest friend at school. It's to get closer to the Word of God. Because there's going to be a day that that new friend's not going to carry you through, but this Word of God will always carry you through. Yeah, man. That's why he hit himself. Because he didn't want to give him help then. He wanted to give him help for tomorrow. There's one more thing. There's the heartbroken saints, and there's the hidden Savior. Then lastly, and I'm done. I've been preaching too long. 28 minutes. I'm almost done. There's help for the scattered. In our text, there's help for the scattered. The Bible said both in the book of Matthew and he said it in the book of Mark that there's going to smite the shepherd and that the sheep would be scattered. Well, that's what's happened in our text. You see, Cleophas and Mary were the sheep. And the shepherd, had been taken down. He'd been killed. And now the sheep are scattered. They're wayward. That's what Cleophas and Mary were. They were headed to Emmaus. They had no business going there. Can I ask you a question? Why would you leave Calvary? I can answer that. But why would you leave Jerusalem? Why would they leave the people of God? Why would they leave the place where God showed himself to them? Why would they do that? I can give you an answer, but I really don't even understand. But you know, we're 2,000 years removed from this. And that's still unanswered today. When people are hurt, people are heartbroken, they go through situations, you know what their natural tendency is, the same as Cleophas and Mary, to walk away, get farther out of church rather than getting in. And friend, when something comes in your life, you don't need to find yourself missing Wednesday night service. You don't need to find yourself missing Sunday night. You don't need to find yourself missing Sunday school. You need to be here every time the doors are. Papa always said it like this: if the lights are on at the church house, they need to be off of your house. If the parking lot's got cars if the church got cars in the parking lot, your driveway needs to be empty. Because this is where you're going to get your help. Because there is help for the scattered. I don't know why people do that, but it's our natural thing. Now, studying that word, I like words. I don't use enough of them. I'm a redneck. My vocabulary is about as tall as I am. Now here's the deal though, I like to study them. The word Emmaus is the Hebrew word dolbach. When I read this and studied this, I about threw my desk upside down. This is amazing. It may not get you like it did me, but it's amazing. You know what the word Emmaus means? It means to catch by pursuit. That's what the word Emmaus means, dolbach. And you know what Jesus did on the way to the city that means to catch by pursuit? He went and caught him by pursuit. You know, that's a good indication that Cleophas and that other follower of Christ were saved. Because when they walked away, he went and got them. Even though they had been through a tough time, even though they were heartbroken, he went to where they were. And he got them. Man, I'm so thankful for every time in my life. No matter if it was somebody had done something to me, or it was just a trial or something in my life when I had maybe drifted a little bit or walked away a little bit. I'm glad that the Holy Ghost of God come and found me where I was and said, "Hey, boy, what you doing over here? You need to get back to Jerusalem." I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know where you are, but you might find yourself a little bit like Cleophas and Mary. You may have drifted a little bit. You might not be exactly where you're supposed to be. It could be because something's come in your life that's hurt you. Maybe somebody's hurt you. I don't know. I know this. I'm thankful every time in my life when that's happened to me that there was one thing that brought me back. It was the Word of God.